World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, so, folks, what is it we're supposed to do? I mean, really, what is it we're supposed to do? We look outside, we see the culture is disintegrating, as the opening of our show says. The culture is disintegrating, and is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? And should Christians be concerned about the fact that the culture is disintegrating? Before I get too deep into that stuff, I just got to pat a couple people on the back here real quick. If you could, Mr. Producer, pull up the email that says Ray's event on it. Because I want to, friends, there are things going on as a result and through Coach Dave Live that just absolutely makes my chest swell. Not out of pride that I've done something, but out of pride of the team that the Lord is putting together. Now, I'm going to talk here real briefly about our buddy Ray LeBlanc, who's up in Marshfield, Wisconsin. I got to know Ray LeBlanc, six, 7 years ago, long time ago, however long it was, doesn't matter, at an event that he showed up in. And Ray was just a wandering guy, really looking for some place to plug in. That's really what I was. He just wanted to plug in and make a difference for the cause of Christ. And he settled in Marshfield, Wisconsin. He went up there to help out Rob Pugh. Next thing you know, he's got some little fellowship that's up and running, and they're faithful, and yada, 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 and he caught his stride. Now, I'm not just featuring Ray, but you guys, I'm talking to all of you out there who are looking at me right now. Each and every one of you can do this, friends. Each and every one of you can do this. So Ray LeBlanc got a hold of J.R. Harrison's Natural Family Month. And he went to work on it, dudes. Now look, I want to encourage you. Christianity is an individual thing for a group, right? It's like on a football team. Everybody has to block their man, but the team's running a play. And everybody has to do their job when that play's being run. So Ray LeBlanc looks at the play that J.R., the Natural Family Foundation, called, and J.R. says, Ray says, that's a great idea. I think maybe we'll run that play. We'll run that play. And so they've jumped in here with both feet, and I got up on the screen right now. Look, Ray, just come in here real quickly, Ray, if you can.
Sure.
And explain to us what's going on. By the way, folks, again, let me say this. If you're watching this at the Patriot Party News, Facebook, Rumble, all the other places you can be watching, and you would like to have give and take, you would like to be part of our studio audience, you have to go to CoachDaveLive.com and log on there. If you log on at CoachDaveLive.com, then you can be part of the group, and you can raise a hand and ask a question and interact with us, okay? So Ray's been part of that group. So Ray catches the vision that Natural Family Month that Jim at the National, the Natural Family Foundation, I think I got that right, JR. My brain's racing. Said, listen, we're going to make Natural Family Month. We're going to make Natural Family Month. And we're going to do it from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And we're going to have activities going. And Ray LeBlanc, sitting up in Wisconsin, said, you know what? I can run that play. I think that's a good play. I can run that play. And Neil's in Wisconsin as well, said, yeah, I can run that play. And other people in different places say, yeah, I can run that play. Yeah, I can run that play. Patriot Party Network out there. Can you run this play? Can you run this play? So Ray LeBlanc, I saw this yesterday, Ray, just blew me away. Look what Ray LeBlanc has going on Saturday, June 29th, to kick off the Natural Family Month. Ray, unbelievable, dude. Take a couple minutes here, Ray. Folks, look at this flyer. This is brilliant, Ray. So he's having an event in downtown, having some speakers, And look what he's doing. He says, this is going to be family fun day in our park. Fathers and sons, they're going to build toy houses. Mothers and daughters, they're going to plant a garden together. Kids ages 5 to 13. I can't read what that says because it's a little fuzzy. They're going to have story time. We're going to have pony and cart rides. We're going to celebrate the natural family. We're going to build a playhouse. We're going to have a mobile creation museum. Ray, unbelievable, dude. Folks, look, do you understand this? Do you understand this? The JR cast a vision, and there are people out there who said, I can do that. I can do that. Why, I'm going to go to my city council. I can do that. Ray, come on in here a minute, man, and explain to those out there, those folks out there who really want to get involved, how did you make this happen, Ray?
Well, thanks for the intro, Coach. It all started way back when I met you. Other than that, I was just watching that football game. I was up there in the stadium and looking down and clapping you guys all on. And then, boy, you guys wanted me to get into the game. So I got in the game when I met you and just tried to start doing things. And this is what it developed into with what, like you said, JR, he came up with that concept to celebrate the natural family. And Rob Pugh's been instrumental in putting this flyer together and bringing in some of the players that are going
to
be.
So you went to your mayor. You went to your mayor. And what happened? Because she looks to me like she's going to speak. Is that right? This mayor of the city of Marshfield is going to speak regarding Natural Family Month?
Amen. Yeah, I went to her about a month and a half ago and get a little bit of response from her, not all negative, and but hesitant because
they're scared. They're scared. They don't think they're supposed to be salt and light, right? Ray? They're not supposed to.
Nobody ever had something like this, but I did this. The theme was, instead of cursing the darkness, let's light a candle.
Amen.
So for the last 3 years here in Marshfield, I've been cursing the darkness. We've been going to the gay event every June and protesting them for being there in the park. And so this year, with the vision that JR had and with the help of Rob Pugh, I carried the ball to the mayor with this proposal. I said, you know, we want to celebrate the natural family and give them some recognition. And after I didn't get much of a response, I rewrote her again and you know, I kind of pressed the issue a little bit harder by telling her, you know, you guys go out of your way to celebrate the gay event month all of June. We're just asking for a little bit of recognition too. you know, so she agreed, but she was just a little hesitant because
Ray, can I tell you why, Ray? Because they're scared of the homos. They're not scared of the Christians.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be fair to say?
Yeah.
Hey, and Ray, let me, folks, hang on. Sorry, Ray. I interrupt for a living. Folks, what percentage of Americans do you think would be in support of Natural Family Month? 80%? 85%? What percentage of people do you think would stand up and say, yes, about time?
Yeah.
But the mayor's worried about the 8% that are going to call and protest, right, folks? This is the world we live in. Why? Because we have refused to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Because we are afraid that our mere presence and our ideas and asking for our place at the table is going to be offensive. And people are going to get mad. They're going to call us bigots and homophobes and pick your term, racist and whatever, throw whatever it is. And so therefore, the people in government are afraid of the other side and not afraid of us. Ray, got to hang on here a second, okay? Mr. Producer, pull up for me. You may have to do this real quick. Go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Folks, I like to use this because it's the original language, And put up politics. What is politics? Well, it's the science of government, the part of ethics. Uh-oh. that part of ethics which consists in the regulation and government of a nation or a state for the preservation of its safety, peace, and prosperity. Hang on, can I stop there? Anybody in the queue here think we shouldn't be involved in preservation of safety, peace, and prosperity? Anybody think we shouldn't be involved in politics? Hang on. Comprehending the defense of its existence and rights against foreign control or conquest, the augmentation of its strength and resources, and the protection of its citizens in their rights with the preservation and improvement of their morals.
Yep.
What? Hey, folks, where is morality going to come from if it doesn't come from, if we are told we're not to get involved in politics? And Ray, you know what's shocking them all, Ray? They're all shocked because nobody's ever come to them, the government. Nobody's ever come to the mayor and said, let's get involved in politics. It's always the other side. Gay this, gay that, homo this, homo that, my rights this, my rights that, blah, 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 blah. But you come and say, hey, there's a whole bunch of us that would like to pray, or a whole bunch of us that like to celebrate natural family. Oh, oh, oh. Right? Am I right, Ray?
Amen. Yeah.
So, so your mayor, the mayor could be a good person, but she doesn't know if she wants to tiptoe into these tulips or not, does she?
Yeah. And so we made our first touchdown with this, and I'm hoping next year that we make the Super Bowl with a proclamation established. But after they see what we're doing and the positivity behind it all, I also invited two council members and school board members. They're going to come up. One of them, Adam Fisher, he's adopted six children. So he's be emphasizing the purpose of adoption. Jason Storms, he's got 11 kids. He's going to be speaking.
Put that flyer back up, Spencer, please. Put that flyer back up.
So Jason Storms is going to be instrumental in this. Will be the undertone that if we came out and said this is a religious organization festival that we're having, it wouldn't have flew too good. So this is why we came in under the radar.
Yes, that's right.
There's going to be people in there that all Christians, and that theme is going to be pronounced across Marshfield. Thank you for your time with that, Coach.
All right. Hey, folks, listen. We have helped fund what Ray's doing up there. Okay, we've helped. If you want to chip in a little bit of money that we can help with, because there are expenses that are involved with this kind of thing. And you talk about, hey, I'll say it. Take this week's tithe check from your church and send it to Pass the Salt Ministries so we can send it to Ray so he can continue to do this stuff, folks. This is a salt of the earth, light of the world kind of stuff, right? And so we don't want Ray or others like Ray to say, well, Coach, we would like to do it, but we don't have the finances to do it. Because what is it Chad Estes says? We pick up where the church left off. Now, you tell me this is not something the church is supposed to be. Hang on a second. Let's go back to Webster again. Because listen, we're going to hear pastors tell us that we're not to mix religion and politics. Hang on. Okay. Coach Dave, go back to that pastor rant from yesterday, Spencer. It's just before Craig's prayer. Oh, we got to get that in. Don't let me forget Craig's prayer. I'm sorry, man. Hey, look, I came out of the shoot hot today, okay? I came out of the shoot hot. Pull up that pastor's rant from yesterday. That's what it says, pastor rant. And I want you to ask yourself if this guy, because Steve Quayle posted this on his website. So this is telling it like it is. You tell me, folks, if this guy is right. Is he right or is Ray LeBlanc right? Go ahead and play it.
Some of you bring politics into the church. You think that politics is spiritual stuff. Politics is of this world.
Hang on. You think
it's your duty.
Hang on. Are we to go into all the world or not? Did Jesus say go into all the world or just stay in your church? Which was it? This guy says if you go into all the world, you're being worldly. We're the salt of the church, aren't we? We have become good for nothing because we will not take it outside the four walls of the church, because guys like this tell us we're not supposed to. Keep going.
Duty. To be political about this, that, and the other. No, your duty is to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
Don't be talking to me.
Pause it. They're cutting off your neighbor's ding-a-ling. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor? See, love is expressed by actions. Actions prove love. You can preach in your pulpit all you want to, dude. If you don't take it to the street, ain't nobody seeing it.
Boom.
Why is Ray LeBlanc taking this to the street? Because he loves his Lord, and he loves families, and he loves righteousness. And Jesus said, go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus, I'm telling you right now, Ray, Jesus Christ is up. He's high-fiving you, dude. He's high-fiving you, Ray. He ain't high-fiving this guy. He is not high-fiving this guy. Keep going.
Don't be talking to me about my spiritual responsibility to vote. I don't have a spiritual responsibility to vote.
Unbelievable.
I have a civic privilege. Don't be telling me that voting is spiritual. See, that's what happens when you don't read and pray.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Read and pray what,
when
brother?
When you don't read and pray, you say, wow, there's a Bible out now that includes the Constitution.
Yeah, get him off there. Get him off of there. That guy's our problem. That guy right there. Hey, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Can you pull that up for me real quick, Spence? God, I only got 6 minutes here to break. Matthew 5, verse 13. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Not the church. Not the church. You're the salt of the earth. But the salt has lost his savor. How about this? If the salt never gets out of the salt shaker, if we just hide the salt inside the church, it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. Said to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Let me ask you something. Huh? Let me ask you something. Is the gospel being trodden under the foot of men in America or not? And that 6-foot icicle tells you we're not supposed to get involved with it. So in other words, we're supposed to stay in our churches and in our houses and pray and let the Luciferians run everything. Does that make sense to anybody out there? Could anybody ever think that would be the gospel of the kingdom? Expanding the kingdom. Go ye. Where is that? Go ye. Keep going. Put in whole Matthew 5. I'm sorry. I got to get this off my chest. I've been stewing about it. Huh? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Go ye into all the world. Go ye. I'm trying to find where it is. Maybe it's not in Matthew 5. Go ye. Go ye. Go ye. Go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Go ye, go ye. And he's telling you, come ye. There it is, Mark. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Hey, Jen, where would that world be? Would that world be just in the four walls? Is the world in Congress? Is the world in the White House? Where does the world end? Maybe somebody could explain that to me. He says, go into all the world and don't preach the gospel to every creature, especially to politicians. Don't preach it to them and don't preach it to kids in the schools. And don't preach it there. No. Keep it in your church. Keep it in your church. And Jesus goes on to say, when you do it, man, you're going to be hated. They're going to hate you, dude. You're going to be hated of all men. Oh, I'm on a rant. And I see those hands. I'll get you in here in a second. Let me get you in here before we go to break. Come on in, Neil. Come on in.
I just wanted to say how there are no boundaries with the natural family celebration. When I had my leg put together last week and I was laying in the hospital, I was talking to my nurse who was from India. Her name was Preet, and she was just overwhelmed with the idea of the natural family celebration. I'm going to guess she was Hindu, and she just took the whole thing. And so there are no boundaries with this celebration. Anybody, anywhere in the world can celebrate this.
Amen. 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 Hey, sir, throw the website up there, Spencer, while I'm getting these guys in. Throw up Natural Family Natural Family Strong, I think it is. Come on in, Joanne.
Well, the biggest part of the world would be all the government.
Well, the government is the one that makes the rules, isn't it?
Right.
Hey, hang on a minute. Isaiah chapter 9, please. Isaiah chapter 9. Sorry, folks, if this goes against your theology. Isaiah chapter 9. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. This is for all those guys. This is for all y'all went to seminary, okay? For all y'all went to seminary. It says, keep going. It's Isaiah 9, 6, isn't it?
6 and 7.
6, yeah. For unto us a child is born. Anybody know who that would be? Anybody have any idea who that might be? And unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, hang on. Jesus is the head. Where does the body begin? Where does the body begin? If you cut off your head, do you still have a body? Yeah, but you're a headless horseman. So he's the head, we're the body, and the government's going to be upon our shoulders. Because when you carry something, you put it over your shoulders. That's where you're strong. Put it over your shoulders and carry it, right? So shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, a Ray. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Folks, this kingdom is supposed to be expanding. We're not supposed to hide in our church and stay away from politics. Are you kidding me? That's how we got in the mess. That's how the Luciferians are ruling our schools. That's Amen. How it happened. Roger, you got a minute before break.
Real quick, was there any script? I didn't listen to all of it. Was there any scriptural support? Do we know where he gets this scriptural basis that he supposedly espouses? Because
he can find it.
Because I think in many of our churches, this is what they believe.
Does it even make any sense?
Huh? No, not to me or all of us on the queue, but I always try to look at, instead of a person's opinion, and where are they putting forth scripture? And I haven't listened to the whole thing, but he must be assessing scripture in a way that he's very ardent in his position. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with it, but that's what intrigues me more than anything. It's not so much what he thinks, but how he finds scripture to support it. Because every church we go into, believe me, they're a lot closer to him than they are to you.
Roger, amen. We got to run to a break, folks. We'll be right back on the other side, and we're going to dig into this even a little bit more deep. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back. Good, Spence. Now let's start again. Thanks, folks. So what does it mean to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? That's really what we're talking about here today. Are we supposed to impact every area of culture and society, or are we not? That's a question. What do you think, Dave Allison? Come on in.
Well, I think our forefathers, they said, when they set up our government, it says, of the people, by the people, and for the people. I think I'm the people. I don't know who this guy thinks he is.
By the way, Dave, God through the people. See, when you go and listen to what he makes a complaint, he says, God's in control of it all. God, not we the people. We the people. Folks, God works through people. Anybody deny that? Anybody deny that? The reason the government's in a mess is because guys like him have told good, moral people not to get involved. And as a result, we got sick people running our government. That's the way I see it, okay? Cool. Rochelle, come in, then Jack.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Coach. Yeah, that passage in Isaiah about regarding the government, I think we are supposed to have impact, first of all. But that exact paragraph, I was talking to a Jewish friend of mine, and there, when they refers to the Son, that they replace that with Israel. So if you read that same passage and believe the Son means Israel, you can see where all this Zionism has really taken form. The government should be on Israel's shoulders. I mean, they want to run the world.
Yeah. Oh,
I just wanted to share that. I just
you're picking that stab for me this morning. Don't get me going there. Jack, come on in.
Pull up Exodus 18:20, Spence. Exodus 18:20. It's pretty simple, real basic, fundamental.
At U.S., Spencer.
Teach the people US. The statutes and the laws and show them the way to walk and the work to do.
And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Christians are supposed to be doing that. So we turn our schools over to Luciferians and expect to have godly children come out. Are you dumber than a rock or what? Dale.
Yes, he is, Coach. Proverbs 29:2 says this: when the wicked rule, the people mourn. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Wow. So this guy's mourning because the wicked are ruling and he ain't doing diddly dupes about it. Amen. He's dumber than a bucket of rocks.
So we're going to allow them, we're going to allow the devil to make the rules and raise Christian children in the midst of that. Really? Really? What Roger wants to know what verse that was, Dale. That was, I got Proverbs
29, verse 2.
Proverbs 29. I got to get the prayer in. Don't let me forget the prayer. I came out hot. I told you I was going to. Come on, Craig.
Three things. One, I do agree. Don't put the Constitution in the Bible. Good document, but you shouldn't mix that. But two, to this gentleman's point, okay, we are different. We have the opportunity as the church to participate in our form of government. They didn't have that during the Roman rule. That's we're misconstruing three things. And the third thing I'd say is, let's get the politics out of the church first, and then maybe worry about the politics.
Amen. Let's clean up the pulpit, huh? Let's go. Oh, by the way, oh, man, I need a month this morning. Some days I have days like that. Pull up my dear friend Adrian Rogers, Spencer. It was a standalone email, okay? Just so you know, it's not just me. Adrian Rogers, Spence. Are you ready? You ready? You guys all know who dear Adrian Rogers is, don't you? Go ahead and play that, Spence.
You look for the devil. Never fail to look in the pulpit. Never fail to look in the pulpit. Satan is occupying many pulpits in America today. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves as the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great things if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Hmm. And so a man may have a clerical robe on. He may stand behind the sacred desk, but he has not been divinely anointed, divinely appointed. He has been ordained of the devil. You say, Pastor Rogers, that is hard. No, that's the kindest thing I could say. When you look for the devil.
Boom! Boom, right? And so these guys hide behind the fact that we're not supposed to get involved in politics. And we were talking about before the show went live, is it the 501c? Is it count? What is it? What is it? What is it that would make a man of God see children be assaulted in our society and remain silent about it? What, folks, what is that in the heart of any man that would see that going on and remain silent? I don't get it. I don't get it. Come on in, Kevin.
That would be the Scofield Reference Bible that got into ever
since. Oh, now you're going to get me in trouble.
And then I'm going to add on to that, there's a guy by the name of Darby that's involved with that, and also another guy by the name of Samuel Untermeyer, who blackmailed the president back in 1913.
Yeah,
Woodrow Wilson.
Not allowed to do that stuff, guys. No. We got to take the straight party line here. You're not allowed to talk about that stuff, huh? Not allowed to talk about that. Randy.
Coach, maybe they need to come listen to our show and learn how to redefine the words, like politics. See, Coach, that's a revelation if you can see it. Politics is, it should be in the church. It's obvious. So, but they have no clue hear. Coach, we have to speak. Get them out of the box. We got out. They can too. We got to get people outside their little sphere of world and hear look at it from the outside in, and they can learn to see it like we can.
Now, Randy, I'm not a big supporter of the Republican Party, but I don't know how any Christian could ever vote for a party that wants to kill babies, cut off ding-a-lings of little children, and promote homosexuality. That's the Democrat Party. How could any Christian ever vote for that? You say, well, Coach, how could you vote for Donald Trump? That's a whole different issue. It's a whole different issue. Either a Republican or a Democrat's going to be president of the United States. How could any Christian ever vote for a Democrat? Is absolutely beyond me.
It's but we're changing it, Coach. Kevin's right. If you change the word, one word in 10 or 20 years, it's changed the whole philosophy. It's changed the doctrine.
That's
and,
right.
And we can change it back. We have to doing it right now. That's what we're doing, Coach.
That's right. That's right. Paul Webb, come on in. Good to hear from you, Paul.
Yeah, I think it's already been said. I'll just say it. Basically, what's happened is instead of we have a spiritual answer for, I mean, the answer that we have is not political, but spiritual. But what's happening is the people that have the answer to spiritual have become political, and they've lost the true meaning of what it means to be a Christian or to be the salt of the earth. They become almost
everybody,
like
everybody. Am I the only one got knocked off?
Psalm 78. Get Psalm 78 up for me, Spencer. Go ahead, Paul. I didn't mean to cut you off. Get Psalm 78.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm just saying, I've kind of reiterated some of what's already been said, but that's what's happened is that the church has become, because I hear it all the time, we're not to be involved in politics. I'm not trying to be political and all this stuff. I say, you are.
I'm trying to be political.
You are being political, because if you take a side. See, what's happened is we've let the world define who we are. You're a conservative. No, I'm not a conservative. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I stand for his word.
Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, which we will utter dark sayings of old, which you heard from our dads, and they taught it to us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, pointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they would teach those rules and regulations to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who they would arise and have children, and they would teach it to them, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, keep his commandments, and not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation who never took the gospel out of the church. They were like the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, and they turned back in the day of battle. Today is the day of battle, and we're turning back. John, come on in.
Just want to say, I appeal to Caesar. That's what came in my spirit. And Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. He went right to the government, didn't he?
He did. He did. Right. Well, he appealed to his rights as a citizen. Are we doing that? Do you understand men are locked up on J6? Because why? They did what the law said they had to do. They peacefully assembled to petition the government. They followed the law. You understand, folks? You understand what's going on? Because the church is not afraid. I'm sorry. The government is not afraid of the church. They're not afraid of it. Quickly, Roger.
Devil's advocate. I think it's deserving. I support everything it said here in the morning. The disciples. The disciples all died as martyrs.
Right.
The disciples' ministry was repent. It was not who do we get elected. It was not the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole message was not about love. It was repent, repent. It is easy for us to chew this guy out and spit him out, but I'm telling you, there's more of that than there is of us. So we better understand why he thinks this.
Amen.
We can jump on. We can jump on and just chastise him and tear him up. But there's more of them than they are of us. I don't care how quickly the church is changing. Why is he thinking this? What is the scripture that he is bringing in so that we know where to go when we confront others?
Amen.
You know, I'm sorry, folks. There's a lot more of them than there are of us right now.
Sure are, baby.
Scripturally, where is he lost? That's the key, because my pastor probably views that same scripture, and I want to know how to go about changing his heart on that issue.
Amen. I don't think he can. I don't think he can. I don't think he can. I know of a situation right now where a member of the Q went to the pastor and said, what are we going to do about J6ers? In fact, they just arrested a couple of J6ers in that congregation. And one of the guys went to the pastor, said, what are we going to do about it? And the pastor just kind of gave him a blank look. Susie.
Maybe he needs to do a study on the cities that all the disciples went to preach to.
Hey, they turned the world upside down, is what it says, right? Turned the world upside down. They came preaching a different king, turned the world upside down. And the American church has become subservient. When the government tells the American church to close down and wear masks, yes, massa! Yes, massa! Right? That's where we are. That's where we are. Let me catch my breath here. I know some of you want to get in here. I know you do. Catch my breath. We're the salt of the earth. This is pass the salt. Pass it. Get it out of the shaker and invade. Did you ever put salt on a steak? Just had one the other day. Michelle made one. Put salt on it. And I bit into that thing. Man, that enhanced the flavor of that steak. But you know what? I couldn't see the salt. I couldn't even see it in the meat. It just kind of got sucked into the meat. And I ate it, and it changed the taste of that thing. And it happened with some French fries. Did the exact same thing. Took those French fries, and I put some salt on them, and the next thing you know, you couldn't even see the salt. It just kind of was in the French fries. It changed the way that it tasted. Hold the salt. Maybe that should be what it is. Instead of pass the salt, hold the salt. Hold the salt. Pass. Hold the salt. Yeah, hold the salt. That'd be it. Paul Goslin, come on in.
I think people have short memories, Coach. I kind of wonder what this guy was doing when COVID hit. Yeah. He walked through his door. He's got a mask on. You got to wash your hands. He's preaching to people to get the vaccine. I mean, with guys like that, can you even trust them, Coach? Can you even trust anything they say?
It's even worse than that, Paul. The people sit in the church and applaud like seals. They don't have the ability to even think spiritually. Why? Because they come every day, every week, and they get fed. They get fed from this guy standing in the pulpit. And what did Adrian Rogers say? He said, you better be careful. Some of those guys are of the devil. I'm not saying this guy is, but he could be. He sure could be. Trent.
Coach, about 70 to 80% of the population of today would be the same people voting yes and saying we need it due to whatever you want to say, commerce, business, or whatever, saying it was okay to enslave the black people of the United States as they were in the, 1700s to 1800s. That's where they are. And the pulpits would be saying it was okay as well. That's how evil these people are.
When the pulpits are signed. Real quickly. Hey, Spencer, look that up. Just type into Google and the pulpits are silent. And the pulpits are silent. And bring that up here. Because this is one of the things that No, and the pulpits were silent. And the pulpits were silent. Where is it? Pulpits are silent. How's that anyone? What was his name?
Finney. Finney, Coach.
Finney. That wasn't Finney. I don't think it was. I'm sorry. Man, Dale, come in quickly. And the pulpits are silent.
Well, Coach, I'm just going to answer Roger's this guy getting scripture. It was in the video. He says, there's no place in the scripture where it tells me I am to vote. Well, that's his go-to right there, because everything else is contrary to that. Oh, I'm sorry. What did God tell Jonah to do? Go to Nineveh. And who did Jonah talk to? Oh, the king of Nineveh. Oh, what did King Agrippa say to Paul? Thou has almost persuaded me. You mean to tell me that Paul was preaching to him? Oh, I'm sorry. And don't forget Nathan, who went to King David. Who was Nathan the prophet? Who did he go to? Oh, the government, right? And he says, you're the guilty one. So yeah, Coach, the answer to Roger's question was in the video that says there's nowhere in the scripture that tells me not to vote. So therefore, Coach, There's nowhere in the scripture that's telling me to use toilet paper to wipe my butt. Therefore, I'm not supposed to use toilet paper.
There you go, baby. There we go. Hey, Spencer, it's Don Wildman. And the pulpits were silent. Don Wildman. Pull that up there. Look, folks, this is 20 years old, 25 years old, if we can get to it. While we're looking for it, Craig, make it short, Craig. I got 4 minutes here.
Okay. One is, after we get to politics, let's get the nepotism out of the pulpit, because that's the Assemblies of God. You know, that guy's sons, they booked that stripper, right? Yep. And the second thing is we better worry about the United Nations, because these 17 sustainable goals for 2030 are being voted on in September. The World Health Pandemic Treaty is going to get probably approved this May.
We're not supposed to get involved with that. We're just speaking the gospel in the church.
That is the one world government revelation.
Just preach the gospel in the church, right? Just do it in the church. Well, Spencer found it from 2022. Oh, my God, I'm running out of time. It doesn't matter. Golly. I'm feeling this, folks. There's absolutely no reason why we should be losing. Absolutely no reason. No reason why we should be losing. And we get these guys like this saying, Jack, quickly.
Yep, I listened to a great presentation, Dynamic, yesterday by a guy that's only been awake for 2 years. Forget the people that have been asleep for 40 years. Let's just work on the new guys.
That's right. I'm with you. Randy.
Coach, you have the answer. It's that Justin Martyr quote, Coach. Yep. When the church realizes they're Israel, they will quit looking over there across in the Middle East at a piece of ground, at a bunch of evil people, and they'll realize that they're the answer. They are the government.
Spencer, pull up the Justin Martyr quote. It's in the email. Pull it up, Justin Martyr email. Justin Martyr, 90 to 150 A.D., Jesus Christ is King of Israel. Christians are the Israelite race.
Boom, Coach.
Uh-oh.
You might want to Google who Justin Martyr was. You know why they called him Justin Martyr? Because he got martyred. Martyr wasn't his last name. Martyr is the name they gave him, Saint Justin. And they called him the martyr because he gave up his life for what? Why? He spoke against the government. Isn't it amazing how that happens? Jesus Christ is King of Israel. Christians are the Israelite race. We have an identity crisis, don't we? We got us an identity crisis. That's what we're dealing with, folks. A lot of stuff going on, man. Salt of the earth, light of the world. How much time I got there, Spence? Salt of the earth, light of the world. Nobody, he says, look, Matthew says, you go into all the world, you teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Can somebody explain to me why America seemed to be doing pretty good up until 1947, when the Luciferian, wicked Supreme Court of the United States usurped its power and declared that there was a separation between the church and state? They removed Bible reading. They removed prayer from the schools. They removed the moral instruction of our children into a common belief moral system. They removed it. And what happened? What has happened in America since 1947? Well, how about 1960? They took prayer out of the schools. 1963, they took Bible reading out of the schools. 1973, they started murdering babies in the womb. 1980, they pulled the Ten Commandments down off of the walls. Folks, we used to be a Christ-based Christian government. And what did they do? We can read the tenets of humanism, the tenets of communism, of socialism. They infiltrated the schools. They infiltrated the seminaries. They infiltrated every area of American society. And as a result, we now have a spiritual identity crisis. We don't know who we are anymore. The church doesn't know who we are. And what do? We are no different than Paul when he went to Caesar and said, I'm exercising my rights as a Roman citizen. We're Christians first. We're American citizens second. But we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and we're supposed to impact every area of society. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. A lot of mourning going on. See you next week. Thanks, Spence. Okay, keep going. Keep going. I am so full of this today. We got to get the prayer in. Don't let me forget to get the
That's
prayer.
That's good, Coach.
Come on in, Janine. Get the prayer up for us, Spencer, if you could, at the Liberty Action Network. Go ahead, Janine.
This was good that you're talking about this, because it had the true word of God kept with it. Instead of all these other types of Bibles, we would have had the true word going out, like Joel said, turn your sword into plowshares. We would have taken the true word of God and turned over the people and put them on the right path, instead of letting these isms come in and change. And then once they've been turned over, the Lord says, now turn your plowshare into swords. They would have gone out. And, you know, we just don't even apply the word of God right, because we don't have the true word of God. That's why the churches are changing.
So, Janine, we have people who go to church who vote against Christianity when they go to vote. Because of what this guy's telling us. They don't vote the Bible. They think there's a separation. They think the Bible's just for them and their church. It's not for everybody else.
Because they haven't been the watchmen. They can't discern and have discernment of what is going on, nor what the Lord has told them. Amen. It's their own opinion, and they can't back it up with scripture.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to pray this right now, folks. I'm going to pray this right now. Father, we praise and honor Lord Jesus. You're lifted up and set on the right hand of the Father. And as we approach Passover this year, we will call upon your name to be honored and lifted up high. The beautiful story of God's redemption plan for mankind before the creation of the earth. And as we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary during this year's upcoming Passover celebration, almost 2,000 years ago, we as your body of believers come and pray in unison, asking for your spirit to move mightily upon the earth from April 19th to May 2nd. We're in a precarious times as war looms over the Middle East and lands of Israel. Confusion and conflict overwhelm the Holy Land at this time. The very Prince of Peace, you, Lord Jesus, are not positioned in the hearts and minds of world leaders across the earth. Yet, as you stated in John chapter 1, 2, and 3, He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Psalm 2 says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's break their bands in pieces, cast away their cords from us. But he who sits in heaven is laughing. Thank you, Lord, you're laughing. Father, as you laugh and distress them in your deep displeasure, give your ecclesia the wisdom, strength, courage, boldness, and power of your Holy Spirit to be in one accord in prayer, but also in action in the days ahead into the month of May. As the enemy of this world are brought to naught, we thank you, Father, in the mighty name of your Jesus, your Son, perfect sacrifice to bring mankind back into relationship with you, our King, our hope, our salvation. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. But let me switch gears on you real quick. Oh, golly, got 12 minutes. Hey, thanks for bearing with me here on Mondays. Thanks, appreciate you doing it. Pull up Rich Dad. Pull up Rich Dad. Folks, are you ready? You guys heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Rich Dad, you guys know he wrote a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad? What's his name? Scott?
Amen.
Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay, here it is, folks. Robert Kiyosaki. Go ahead.
Investment in the world today is called silver.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I study history a lot. This here is fake money. I would never work for this stuff. It's good as toilet paper. So the biggest investment today is this. This is 35 US.
Mm.
And I think everybody in the world can afford this today.
Mm.
I tell people every day, you should buy this. No, I'll say this. You see, they don't know the difference between this is fake money, this is real money. And this here is gold. Real money, fake money. So the yen, the rupee, the dollar, the peso, all fake.
This is the best investment.
There you go. Rich man, poor man. I think he's a little bit smarter than what I am. Oh, my goodness. What I want to look at. Somebody want to come in and bark at me? Well, I got something else I'm going to show you.
Coach, okay. plant seeds and walk on. Plant seeds and walk on. There's no use trying to debate with these people, Coach. Their God's going to have to shake their little world.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay. Let's pull that one up there. Pull up. Let me just show you a couple clips I got. Pull up Ron Paul.
Hey, Coach, you're on it today. You know, you're teaching, you're repetitive teaching. You know what I mean? You're fired up. Hey, you got us fired up, Coach.
Hey, Trent, continue. You know what else? You know what else, Trent? The more I go down this road, the more I know I'm right. So that's Amen. Why I'm relentless to continue down the road. I know that I'm right. I know that I'm right. An evil man has crept in unaware, and they changed the truth of God into a lie. They've done that to us, folks. They've done that to us. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creature. That's the word of God, by the way. Now, Ron Paul. God bless Ron Paul. He talks slow. Put him at 1.5 if you can. Ron Paul. Folks, Republicans are scoundrels. Republicans are scoundrels, folks. But they're the only thing we have right now. But they're scoundrels. They're part of the same thing. Go ahead.
Future historians go searching for the final nail in the U.S. coffin. They may well settle on the date April 20th, 2024. On that day, Congress passed legislation to fund 2.5 wars, hand what's left of our privacy over to the CIA and the NSA, and give the U.S. president the power to shut down whatever part of the internet he disagrees with. The U.S. and its allies have already sent over $300 billion to Ukraine, and the country is still losing its war with Russia. Nobody believes another $60 billion will pull a victory from the jaws of defeat. But this additional money is meant to keep up appearances until November at the expense of Americans who are forced to pay for it and Ukrainians who are forced to die for it. Speaker Johnson could not have passed these monstrosities without the full support of House Democrats, and as the majority of Republicans voted against more money for Ukraine. So in the worst example of bipartisanship, Johnson reached across the aisle, stiffed the Republican majority that elected him Speaker, and pushed through a massive gift to the warfare corporate welfare state. After the House voted to send another $60 billion to notoriously corrupt Ukraine, members waved Ukrainian flags on the House floor and chanted, "Ukraine, Ukraine." While I find it's distasteful and disgusting, in some ways it seemed fitting. Not to be outdone, the U.S. Senate on that same day passed the extension of Section 702 of the FISA Act, which not only allowed the government to continue spying on us without a warrant, but also contained new language massively expanding how they can spy on us. Many conservative voters are asking, what's the point of Republican control of the House is if the agenda is determined by Democrats? Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is given reported to have bragged to his colleagues about how easily Speaker Johnson gave Democrats everything they wanted and asked for nothing in return.
Boom! 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 Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Speaker of the House is a Zionist. The Speaker of the House is a Zionist. Now, I'm going to piss a lot of you off, okay? I'm sorry. Come on back here. Put Chuck Baldwin back up there. I wasn't going to play it. Might lose all my friends. Go ahead.
I have some questions.
Hang on. Hang on, 1.5 speed. 1.5 speed. Chuck Baldwin, say what you want to with him. Huh? What? Hey, folks, do you understand that Mike Johnson, Christian Mike Johnson, sided with the Democrats? The majority of Republicans were against the bill. The majority of Republicans were against the bill. And Mike Johnson voted with the Democrats. The Republican Speaker of the House, the man of God that we put in, the Zionist. Go ahead, play it.
For Mr. Christian Zionist, John Hagee. Mr. Hagee, you say the missiles launched by Iran into Israel are the beginning of the battle of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. But you also say that Gog and Magog represent Russia. I didn't know Russia was located in Persia. My prophecy message number 6 in my prophecy package set 1, which I'm holding in my hand right now, fully identifies Gog and Magog of Ezekiel, and it's not Russia or Iran. You also believe that Gog and Magog referenced in Revelation chapter 20 is the same prophetic event. Question, Mr. Hagee. Why haven't we been raptured to heaven already? Amen. You say the rapture occurs in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and that the rest of Revelation prophecy is future, after the church has been raptured. You say the four horsemen of Revelation 6 are future. You say the beast, the mark, and the number 666, as you call it, in chapter 13, are all future. You say the second coming takes place in Revelation chapter 19. But here you are saying that the current conflict in the Middle East is a fulfillment of Gog and Magog in Revelation chapter 20. If this is your version of Gog and Magog, the church should have been raptured at least 7 years ago. So why hasn't the church been raptured? Mr. Hagee, when will you have the decency and honesty to admit to Christians everywhere that you are nothing but a bought and paid for Zionist who has lined his pockets with Zionist money? Wow. When will you admit that you are helping to send Israeli people to hell by telling them that they are God's chosen people without them trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior? And when will you admit that you conveniently use whatever Bible verse and whatever current event you want to prove your false prophecy doctrines of Christian Zionism? Mr. Hagee, when will you admit to the world that you, sir, are a false prophet?
Good morning, Jack. Amen, Jack.
Amen.
Yeah. What Speaker Johnson did just proves that the strength and the power of the Israeli lobby is that they will sacrifice us to support Israel. And that's the only way he could get money for Israel was to support Ukraine. And supporting Ukraine is destruction of us. Unbelievable.
Amen. Amen. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, a couple of things. The pass you played earlier, he wouldn't have been one of the guys standing at the Lexington Green, do you think?
No.
Who were those guys? I forgot. Weren't they people of faith?
They were. Black Robe Regiment, yeah. They called them, didn't they?
Exactly. But I'm sure he was the first guy in line for the PPP money.
I bet
he
is.
He's probably on the clergy response team. You know, Coach, when I went to a metals guy and he's got a Sigma machine there and he puts your coin up on there and he can tell whether it's real or fake. And he shows me some coins people have brought in that were supposed to be gold. And he says, look at this here. A guy brought this in. He bought it. He thought it was gold. We put it on the machine and it was fake. You ought to see the look on his face. That's the same look I got on my face when I look back at the men who I sat under their teaching for the last 30 years. I realized they looked like they were gold, but they were fake. And it really, this guy grieves me, really. I feel sad. You know, I get angry, but at the same time, I'm so sad. So, you know, it really grieves my heart.
Shows you, again, why we have 48,000 denominations, right? Shows you.
Somebody one more thing.
Teach
a watched an old cowboy movie the other night, and the guy who had died, and the pallbearer had him standing in the window. And Sherry said, wow, I didn't know they ever did that. I got thinking, you know, Coach, when I die, and if I have a funeral, I'm going to have them stand my casket up in the funeral home. And they're going to look at me, and I'm going to have a sign there. I might not be here, but I'm still standing.
Amen. That's a good one. Gino, quickly, man, get a minute.
Sorry. You know, we're not realizing there's Christian Palestine people out there, too.
That's right.
And we're killing Christians on both sides.
We have an identity crisis. We don't understand who we are. What did Justin Martyr say? Does anybody think Justin Martyr was wrong? Was he misquoted? I did a Google search on him this morning to find out who he was. He was one of the original saints, man. And he said, Christians are the Israelite race. Oh, there we get a replacement theology, right? Right? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. The Lord would send a strong, because they rejected the truth, the Lord would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for bearing with me today. We'll see you tomorrow.